Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sit down, relax. I will refund you. I don't want no refund. I want the shorts I paid for.
Isn't like that. How many days you do that?
3 days.
Yeah, that's a terrible
And I'm talking
job.
About quit in the middle of the third.
Yeah, I don't blame
you. I'm out of here.
I don't blame you. That job sounds bad. Just quit scamming people, man. Scam people out of their money. Old people don't have that much money. Let's get to an NFL in the huddle in just 1 minute. College football corner in about 20 minutes from right now. We'll look ahead to a pretty solid weekend. I mean, I know Georgia is playing Kent State, but there's some pretty fun games coming up this weekend. Game day is in Tennessee for Tennessee and Florida. Also going to be joined by Marquise Williams, the Falcons special teams coordinator, coming up at 12:45. Special teams have been pretty solid this year. I know Young Waku missed a field goal last week, but he can't really control that. Blocked a punt, scored a touchdown, pretty good stuff there. So we'll talk to Marquise Williams about the Falcons and their special teams coming up at 12:45. But before we do that, let's get to an NFL no huddle.
We're going no huddle.
With the midday show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go! Set!
Brought to you by highestprice.com. Get the newest way to sell your home. Get the highest price at highestprice.com. Every day, kick off the noon hour. We start with an NFL no huddle. There's a game tonight, Steelers at Browns, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Feels like Mitchell Trubisky's last stand, doesn't it?
Hey, man, they need to go ahead. And I love Mike T. I never question him. But this is one thing I know from experience. I've been around where fan bases ask for other quarterbacks. And what they didn't see was what was going on in practice and all of it. They looked like trash. That's why they weren't playing. This could be that situation. Because I don't understand why you look at Mitchell Trubisky as your best option, other than that reason behind there. Because they should have won. They should be two. Well, they are 1-1. That Pittsburgh game, Pittsburgh-Cincinnati game, shouldn't have been close. It was close because he was the damn quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
All right? They lost to the Patriots last weekend because he was the quarterback.
Yeah.
All right? They can't – George Pickens not getting the ball. I mean, no – they need to make a move.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
And Kenny Pickett ain't no young rookie. Kenny Pickett's 24 years old.
Yeah, Kenny Pickett was in college for a long time, played a lot of football games, got a lot of experience in that stadium.
Yeah.
It feels like if Trubisky's bad tonight, this is the last time you see him as a starter. A couple of other interesting news and notes from that game. DeMonte Casey suspended 3 games. He's a Steeler now. Violated the NFL substance abuse policy, former Falcon, obviously, so he's out. Jadeveon Clowney out with an ankle injury. He made a great play last week. Should have won the game for
him. Dude, you know he's going to miss 4 games a year.
Yeah, Jadeveon's going to miss games. There's no question about that.
He's going to miss these
4 games. And then Myles Garrett expected to play, but he's got a neck injury as well.
Yeah,
so,
man, that's something to keep your eye on about that.
Yeah,
but
defense isn't good anyway.
It's going to be an ugly night because you got – it's a Thursday night game. And you got Jacoby Brissett and Dan Mitchell Trubisky starting the game.
Vegas has the over-under in that game at 38.
Take the under.
Ugh.
Take the under.
So that means you're actively rooting for nothing to happen. Mm-mm. You're watching that football game and hoping nothing happens.
Yes.
Ugh. I would say don't bet on that
don't
game.
Don't bet on that
yeah,
game.
Yeah, just keep away from that football game. All right, let's get back into the Falcons here. Obviously, the big story from the first couple of weeks. Kyle Pitts not getting the football as much as everyone would like him to. Seems reasonable that Kyle Pitts having the football more would be good for the Falcons. Here's the guy who throws him the football, Marcus Mariota, on his perspective on why he hasn't found Pitts more often.
It's just what it comes down to is it's just the look. Unfortunately, when you got a guy that plays at a high level like that, you know, he's kind of the number one priority on defense. Like, hey, we have to slow this guy down. I think coming off his rookie year, people weren't sure really what he was capable of doing. Now that he's exploded on the scene and he's done what he's done, teams are very adamant about making sure they take care of that. Because once he gets going, man, he's tough to stop. So we have to do a better job as an entire unit of finding ways to get him the football so that he feels like he's getting involved and he kind of gets that volume going. We constantly were doing what we can, and, you know, sometimes the ball goes the other way. And with that being said, you know, depending on the week, I think as he continues to grow, I think the ball will find him.
Okay, that's not – I mean, okay. He's going to be here. You won't for the long haul. So don't get me there at growth and all those days. You're always growing as a player. Give them the damn football. All right. I know defenses gear up to stop everybody's number one option, and they still get the damn ball. All right. They still get the ball. You still find ways to get the ball. You're the quarterback. You distribute the balls. I understand that. Don't want you to force it into coverage and all those different things. What we're saying is, throw them the damn ball when the play tells you to throw it to Kyle Pitts. Now, anything can happen. I said it earlier. Defense can have a call on for it right there. Pressure could be there. All those different things can be there. But Kyle Pitts needs the ball more. I'm not and this. I hope we don't talk about this anymore because I'm sorry. Kyle Pitts needs the ball more, period.
I hope we don't either.
You know what I mean?
But if he has two catches on Sunday, you know what we're going to be talking about on Monday? This.
And that's the irritating part about it because he's your best offensive player. Get him the ball, period. You're the quarterback. I know you got other looks. No. Where's eight? I got to give him football. We got to get him involved so we can win.
Yeah. I don't know if other people hear it this way. I don't know if you hear it, if anyone hears it this way at all. But, like, when that's the reasoning from the quarterback and the coach, well, the other defenses are keying in on him.
What, y'all keying on Cooper Kupp?
Well, to me, first of all, it's an excuse I don't like. Second of all, that's you publicly admitting that somebody's better at their job than you.
100% agree.
Don't do that.
Because I said
so. The defensive coordinator for the other team's better at calling plays than you are.
But, and then, oh, okay. Then we understand. Sometimes,
cool.
Like,
we should hire him then.
Justin Jefferson got shut down by Darius Slay.
Sometimes that happens.
Sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
But I'm just, you know what? Just give him the damn ball.
Give him the ball.
Give him the ball. I'm just frustrated about talking about it because you get four answers, four different. I've said this earlier. When we played the clip earlier. I'm listening to Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith said he called 13 of the 27 pass plays for Kyle Pitts, and he had two catches. That's on the quarterback, not on Kyle Pitts, and not on Arthur Smith.
I agree with that. Here's Arthur Smith on that topic.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's a terrific player, and those are valid questions because, obviously, he's had a lot of success for us, last year. So those are valid questions. But the truth of the matter is he has been targeted a lot. Doesn't necessarily, that was when you're trying to give context, it's like, you try to force something in a bad look. Well, that's not very, smart on our part. It's probably opened up a lot of things for Drake. And then, like I was trying to give the example on one of those critical drives late where you call a play for him, they kind of funnel him in. Well, here comes Kadero Hodge wide open. So, Marcus is going to make the right decision there. If you try to force him to Kyle, then it's probably going to be incomplete or worse. Now, having said that as well, there's other things we can do. And we will. We'll continue to evolve. I mean, just because you're the primary 13 times, obviously he hasn't gotten the touch.
But that's the other thing, too. It's all very easy to gloss over and understand if you're winning and the offense is high-flying.
Right.
But that's also not happening.
No.
So you're 0-2, and I know Drake London has looked really good. So that's good. I mean, that's definitely a positive. He looks awesome. He's getting – we heard from Baldy yesterday. Sometimes when they line those guys up on the same side, what Pitts is doing is freeing up some of the coverage for Drake London, which is great. But when you're losing and the offense doesn't look particularly great for a lot of the game and the guy that you want to get the ball is not getting the ball, that's when people get frustrated.
Yeah, the tight end drafted number 4 overall, people behind him are playing well, they're not using him and all those things, so I understand the angst about that. But they have got to just understand that Arthur Smith is trying to get him the football. This is not on Arthur Smith not calling plays for Kyle Pitts. This is not. This is on a quarterback not getting the ball to Kyle Pitts. And it probably might be on Kyle not getting open.
Sure. Part of that is quarterback's not changing unless you go to Ridder. And then Ritter's going to do a better job of getting the ball to him?
Don't know.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's where it kind of all stems from when you talk
to
about
to a great tight end. He had Delanie Walker all those years.
Yeah.
So he knows how to – I played in the office where a quarterback didn't know how to use a tight end, didn't throw the ball to a tight end. He's done it. Delanie was a hell of a play. I don't know, Delanie was a bad boy. I'm not putting him on Kyle Pitts' athleticism unicorn level.
Delanie Walker was really good. Kyle Pitts needs to be a lot better than Delanie Walker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, let's hear from Justin Fields. Justin Fields, after the game, said that when he was asked about, does it hurt more because the fans want to beat the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, he said, no one hurts more than the guys in the locker room, which is true.
It's true.
And an okay thing to feel. But you also know how fans are going to hear that. They're going to say, oh, fans don't matter. So here's Justin Fields apologizing for what he said after the game.
I was mad after the game. And, I mean, I like to address this now to get everything cleared up. But, there was a thing that I said on Sunday after the game where I said, the fans don't put in work. First off, I was frustrated after the game. So, number one, I didn't want to come and talk to you guys. I wasn't in the mood to come and talk to you guys, so, you know, I should have did a better job explaining what I meant by that. But what I meant by that was I'm talking about work, you know, regarding the game on Sunday, winning the game. You know, I don't know any fans. I don't know what they're doing in their personal lives. And I respect every fan that we have. I'm, you know, glad that we have fans. So, you know, I would never disrespect, you know, anybody on what they do or what they love to do. You know, it came off like that. And of course, you know, some social media outlets, they, you know, quoted my quote and, you know, they got a big buzz on it. So, of course, they did a great job doing that. And of course, social media is going to do that. But yeah, I just wanted to clear that up.
What the hell are you apologizing for?
Yeah.
Because you got to apologize.
That's a forced apology.
If you got to apologize for somebody that you think is idiot enough to not know that you were talking about on the football field, then you don't need to apologize to freaking idiots. That's it. Stop apologizing for stuff that you meant to say. Of course, you're after a game. You're upset. You're mad. You did not tell a lie. You were talking about in between the lines. We put in all the work. We put in the work. That's what he was saying. And for him not to apologize, that's just moronic. Man.
Yeah. Well, the silly thing about it is you can hear that. I mean, that Justin Fields wasn't like losing sleep
Justin
over the comment that he made.
You don't need to apologize for nothing.
So the interesting thing to me about that, beyond all the stuff you just said, is like that's a team ordered or asked for apology.
Yes.
Which is so dumb. It's just teams reacting to things that they see on there's some fans mad on social media that Justin Fields said this thing. Come on, man. Not what he meant.
That's not what he meant. And it's amazing that you got to sit up there and do an apology for something that you meant and was true.
Right.
Yes, just like Nick Chubb. Nick, I said again up there in Cedar Town. Go tell Nick Cousin, call Nick and tell him Randy said, it's not your fault. Yes, if you would have took a knee, the game would have broken. You're absolutely correct. But you know what? It wasn't. And you know what? You had a 2-score damn lead.
Yeah, they could have.
With less than 2 minutes.
They could have recovered the onside kick.
Thank you.
Defense could have stopped a guy. Hard to blame Nick Chubb for scoring 3 touchdowns and then losing that football game. Kyler Murray says he's got no hard feelings towards the Raiders fan that hit him in the face over while they were celebrating after the game. Now, you look at the video.
Yeah.
You know,
it's pretty funny.
The still shot, it looks like the guy got him pretty good. In the video, you can't really tell what happened. Looks like Kyler got mushed a little bit.
The guy's face. Okay, because I saw the video of the guy's face. He was smiling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wasn't like.
It wasn't like a closed fist
it wasn't
punch
a closed, now,
attack.
Again, don't touch.
Yeah, don't touch the players.
Yeah, let's just call it what it is.
Don't touch the players.
Don't touch the players. And I still said it yesterday. What would have happened if, like, Kyler's homeboy wasn't there? Because that's what he was celebrating with his partners right there. What if Kyler went? You think Kyler could throw them hands?
No.
Why? Is it little? I think Kyler could throw them hands,
I don't.
Man.
No, I don't.
I think Kyler could throw
That's
them
That's my hands. Thing is, like, what was Kyler going to do?
I don't know.
He was going to get a security guard on him?
Remember that?
I'm not saying Kyler Murray is a professional football player. He could probably beat up 99% of the people in the world.
You got little brothers. I got a little sister. You remember that thing you used to do when you hold him by the head?
Yeah, you just hold him by the head.
Swinging underneath your arm. You think he would have done that to Kyler?
Maybe. I don't. You think Kyler Murray's ever...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Punched anybody in the face in his whole life?
Probably. I don't know too many people that have never punched somebody in the face. Do you?
Huh?
Do you know a lot of people that have not punched somebody in the face?
Yeah, I don't know.
Punched or slapped?
Punched or slapped? Yes. Yeah, if you had slapped to it.
Yeah.
Most men that I know have punched someone in the face.
And most people have been punched in the face or slapped.
I've also been punched in the face.
I won't say that. Most people have been slapped by their mama.
Yeah, right. Or one parent
or another. And when you see, and the thing about it is that
my dad, backhand.
Yeah, mama was, and you know, but the thing about it was, I could have blocked it.
I couldn't have.
I could have blocked it. You know what I mean?
I didn't see it coming. Should have seen it coming. Didn't see it coming.
As we said when my mama was on the show last summer for her birthday, I'm still scared of her, but I could tell her because she's listening right now. I should have blocked that one, but I mean, I let her hit me because I deserved it. But you know, I always wanted to do that to her, dog. Cause you remember that those
kung fu block?
The kung fu block. But you remember them days when you got old enough to grab the switch in the belt? Yeah, when you old enough to grab it with that one hand and hang on to it, cause you got stronger, and then eventually it stopped hurting. And then she left you alone. Then she would just punish you all day.
Or maybe you listened better.
Or you listened better.
Did that happen?
Yeah. Maybe. Everybody remember that first time you caught that belt? like you were in a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. Have you ever caught the belt?
Mm-mm.
You never caught the belt?
Mm-mm. Wooden spoon. We're a wooden spoon family.
How did a wooden spoon hurt on your ass?
It did.
Really?
What's a piece of wood?
Yeah.
They swing it with a little pop to it.
I never got whooped no spoon before.
Yeah, you know, different families, so different weapons.
Was it a pop or was it a whooping?
I was a pretty good kid, so it didn't happen very often. My brother Cole got a wooden spoon broken on his backside.
Okay, I was always curious about that. You got spanked or whooped? Got whooped.
Yeah, neither, really.
Okay.
Hardly any. And there's none of that going on over at our house.
Oh, no, I don't spank myself.
Yeah, we're a keep your hands to yourself, yes, family. So here's the deal. We're going to get a little bonus segment here, a little bonus coverage, because we can't go to break. Our system's not working.
Oh, really?
Which is great for the listeners. We just get to keep talking. So we can do a couple of different things. There's a couple of different NFL stories here, all kind of small, like Zach Wilson may be back soon.
No, I mean.
But what if the Jets win again? Like, what if Joe Flacco goes? He threw for four touchdowns last week.
What if
Joe Flacco plays another really good game and they win again?
Then they're going to slow up Zach's recovery.
He had a minor setback.
Yeah. Oh, man. We're going to slow down everything. I can see that.
Jets-Bengals. Jets-Bengals.
The Bengals need
this
one bad.
Yeah, the Bengals.
The Bengals need this one pretty bad. So, but if Joe Flacco likes stay behind up.
I mean, you're the Jets. They haven't won any games in forever.
Yeah, and they are the Jets, by the way.
Keep winning.
Yeah.
If Joe Flacco's winning, keep winning.
They are the Jets, by the way.
Maybe this is like a Kurt Warner, Matt Leinart situation. Remember when Leinart was supposed to be the starter and Kurt Warner just took that job?
Oh, so you're saying that Joe Flacco is going to be Kurt Warner?
Yeah, he's the Kurt Warner in this. He's the old guy in this situation.
Do you really believe that?
No, I don't. I'm just saying, what if they win? Like, I got to ride the hot hand if I'm the Jets.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Zach Wilson hasn't shown me
anything. But that's what I'm
saying.
Like, I still don't think he's going to be a good
quarterback. Other than an affinity for MILFs.
Hey, dog, that's all. Don't we all?
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
I think we do.
I've never toot my nose up here. You know me, I'm not a big nose tooter, or whatever you call it. Toot your nose at people.
Oh, yeah.
I'm better than.
Turn your nose up?
Yeah. Y'all leave Doc alone. Doc ain't done nothing that ain't none of y'all ever did out there joining on Doc.
Yeah,
all right?
He liked some.
He liked looking at scantily dressed ladies.
Yeah, Doc Rivers liked some naked ladies on Twitter.
What's wrong with that?
Who hasn't? Oh, we got to go to break now. Okay, good. All right, we're going to go to break. We'll come back with the College Football Corner in a few minutes.
College football, starring 92.9 The Game's former and always bowling champion, Andy Bunker.
It is a big deal.
And the guy who would have been as productive as Brock Bowers in college if he got the same amount of targets, Randy McMichael.
Don't see no lies.
Yeah, no lies told.
No lies told.
Forever and always bowling champion. And put Randy in this offense.
Yeah, man.
Put Randy in Todd Monken's offense. See what happens then.
I would love to do it. It's so crazy because me and you were talking and we're messing with the Jets. One of my great friends, Jamie Henderson, is listening.
Hey, Jamie.
And he's telling me, because we were talking about the Kyle Pitts thing and everything. And he was telling, okay, because he played for the Jets when I played for the Dolphins. And their number one option, take me away. And what did I do? I said, cook them. You know why? Because they found ways to get me the ball.
Wait, I thought that was impossible.
No, it's not impossible.
I thought when defenses decided
cook
that someone couldn't get the ball, then they couldn't get the ball.
Cook them.
Oh.
Huh. Told they called me the Jet Killer in Manhattan. I was walking down on Broadway with my family. Jets fan record. Hey, that's a Jet Killer. All right. So don't tell me, and don't be giving me no damn diagrams with no dots either. Take your diagrams, your dots, Kyle Pitts, the percentage of this play, and all that.
Now wait a minute. Are we talking about rocks. Common Core math here, or
all that other crap that
somebody sent you a dot chart?
Everybody wants to see it. See, this is if you're Randy. You see the green dots? Well, that is the miles per hour on third down that he was running. That's why he go to hell. All right.
All right. Fair enough.
All right.
Fair enough. Again, I'm with you. Hopefully this is a dead narrative. It's not a narrative, by the way. It's not a narrative.
And one more thing.
It's a real story.
And one more
Hopefully
thing.
The story is dead on Sunday.
And one more thing. Brett Favre's a dirtbag.
Oh, yeah. We were going to check in with that every single day during the NFL. No
Brett Favre is a dirtbag, and he still is a dirtbag.
Because we don't want to be accused of not covering that story.
He's a dirtbag.
It is always interesting to me when someone – I don't know what – like, when do you decide that a story isn't being covered? Like, do you turn on the TV and the story isn't being talked about? Then it's why aren't people talking about this? Anyway, we have talked about it a little bit, but
we have talked about it.
We're just going to cover our bases every day during the NFL No Huddle.
Yes, Brett Favre, dirtbag, steals money from poor folks to help himself. He's a dirtbag, and the whoever the guy that helped him out,
also a dirtbag.
State one more time.
Dirtbag.
Dirt.
Couple dirt
bags.
Peas in a dirtbag pod.
Yes.
So there it is. And if anything changes, if he's no longer a dirtbag, we'll let you know.
No. There ain't no change.
I don't think
I've been telling y'all for years that he was a damn dirtbag.
I think he's going to be a dirtbag still. Yes. All right, let's talk some college football here. Got a couple games tonight, including a local game, Coastal Carolina at Georgia State at 7:30. Georgia State looking for their first win of the season. Tough opening season. South Carolina, North Carolina, Charlotte. Should have beat Charlotte. Only lost by 1 point.
They should be 3-0.
Should have beat North Carolina. Very yes. well could have beaten South Carolina yes. as well. A couple block punts.
Yeah.
Hopefully they get their first win tonight. This is not the same Coastal Carolina team from a couple years ago that won all those games.
Yeah, Chandeliers? Chandeliers, right?
Chanticleers.
Oh, okay.
That'd be awesome if they were Chandeliers, too.
My bad. He should have left when the iron was hot, boy.
Yeah, you got to strike when the iron's hot in college football, especially when you're a head coach at a program like that. But, yeah, this should be Georgia State's opportunity to get a first win tonight. West Virginia at Virginia Tech. West Virginia needs a win, man. Season got off to a bad start. JT Daniels is doing okay, but they thought things would be better with all the transfers that they got in there.
And then you look at Virginia Tech. I mean, we were talking about who the hell is their coach? We didn't realize who that coach was. People thought Fuentes was still there.
Yeah.
They need to go up.
Is Old Dominion the best football program in that state?
I don't know. They almost beat Virginia. That was going to be my upset special last week on Virginia College Football Tech. Game Time. They almost got them. But, yeah, Virginia Tech, the identity, they just haven't recovered from the identity of the Beamer ball. It just has not. Mm-hmm. Fuentes is a good coach, just never got it back to where it was. Mm-hmm. So
then Saturday, pretty good slate of games. I mean, I know from a Georgia perspective, you're entering into that portion of the season that's, you know, unfortunately, a lot of call your mama games, right? Man. You're going to get
– Hey, mama!
You don't play very much.
Grandma!
You're going to play in these games. Kent State on Saturday. But you got some good ones, too. Some learning games. You're going to learn a lot about a handful of teams coming up on Saturday.
What's your top learning game?
I think Clemson at Wake Forest.
Mine, too.
I think because Clemson, every time you talked about him this offseason – partially because of what they were bringing back. Like, Clemson brought back an incredible amount of talent. And that defense is exactly what people said they were going to be. DJU, getting closer to ready to see that other guy. In fact, maybe ready to see the other guy.
I just want
to
know, do more Clemson fans feel that way also?
I think so.
I think so, too.
And I think on Saturday, if that game at Wake Forest does not go their way and DJU plays how he has been, That might be the one. Like tonight we said, it might be Mitchell Trubisky's last stand for the Steelers. I mean, they got that. He got in the fourth quarter in the Georgia Tech game. I know he's gotten in a little bit here and there as well. Talented 5-star freshman quarterback that everybody wants to see.
Who's the go-to
Wake Forest
receiver
isn't bad
either.
Who's
the go-to receiver?
That's the thing.
That's the thing about it.
Clemson doesn't have any dynamic pass catchers.
They don't have that guy. The thing with Wake Forest is that they got the leader back. Mm-hmm. And they're always been a well-coached team. They're real rugged and everything. And then it's on the road. I'm not saying that. What the hell is Wake Forest at? It's in
Winston-Salem.
Is it Winston-Salem? Okay, yeah. Not saying that's a disastrous or whatever you want, hostile crowd. But it's going to be extra special because Clemson's coming.
Yeah, this is their Super Bowl.
You know what I mean? Clemson's coming.
Yes, this is the biggest Saturday of the year.
It's
going to
be unbelievable up there, man. And you know, Clemson's got to be careful. That's the thing about it. They better be careful going on the road. But, yeah, I just don't know how Clemson – fans and alum feel right now about the quarterback position. Because I remember everybody wanted to see DJU. DJU is that guy. Mm-hmm. And then now it's always what's the newest thing.
Yeah, I heard a great comparison that was Clemson specific about that quarterback's position. Is it Kelly Bryant, Trevor Lawrence, where he's the starter and Trevor's maybe going to catch him, take it from him if he gets the opportunity and did? Or is it Trevor Lawrence, DJU, where it doesn't matter. Trevor's hurt, he's out, whatever.
Right.
When he gets healthy, he's coming back in the game.
I think it's
more of a Kelly Bryant.
It's starting to look like it. It damn sure is starting to look like a Kelly Bryant, Trevor Lawrence.
Florida-Tennessee, I think, also is another you're-going-to-learn-something game. I think, personally, I think Tennessee is going to get 17 years of frustration out in this football game on Saturday.
Who was I calling yesterday? Was it Zach, who was a Tennessee fan?
Mm-hmm. And I understand Zach's hesitance.
But
they've lost 16 out of 17 to Florida. It's hard to go against history.
I think Tennessee, they run like 85, 90 plays a game. That's just going to work. Florida doesn't have the depth to hang up with that.
Well, you know what happens
if
Florida runs 85 plays a game?
Yeah.
That means Anthony Richardson has to make decisions 85
and
plays.
That's the thing about it. They can't win a shootout with Tennessee.
He hasn't thrown a touchdown this year.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, it's going like the atmosphere is going to be unbelievable. Having game day up at Rocky Top and all that, it's going to be crazy and everything. I'm with you. I just think Tennessee – I don't think Florida can score with them.
I don't think so.
I don't think they can score with them. Now, Tennessee defense ain't no gangbusters, but their offense will put so much pressure on you. And the only thing you worry about is your Tennessee's defense is if Tennessee's scoring so much, and that the fact that y'all are on the field a lot. Mm-hmm. So
the other thing too is Tennessee, and they'll do this. Well, Hendon Hooker doesn't. He never throws interceptions. His numbers are crazy. He's like 44 touchdowns to 3 picks since he took over as a starter. If he has one of those bad days, though, where you just get unlucky, tip balls, whatever, yeah, and they turn the football over, obviously that gives Florida a chance. Arkansas at Texas A&M, 7 p.m. game. Needed it bad last week for Texas A&M. They got the win over Miami.
They got it at home. It's like they play at home. It's like they play at home every damn week.
All of them.
Yeah.
This is a big opportunity for Arkansas, man.
Yeah.
I know Texas A&M, again, needs it. They got a tough schedule coming up. They got that nice win last week against Miami. Not the prettiest football game ever played, but they won, and they needed to.
Yeah.
Arkansas can run the ball. Arkansas's got a lot of confidence. I don't know how Texas A&M scores. Their offense isn't particularly good right now.
They're changing quarterbacks, so mm-hmm. The quarterback change, it kind of worked last week. Well, it worked because they won. But A&M's on their heels right now. And you're messing around with the wrong kind of team when you're on your heels, a physical football team. Because you watch the tape of the App State game, they got pushed around in the trenches by App State. What the hell do you think Arkansas is going to do? Yeah. They're built to do that.
That's what Arkansas is,
yes.
Especially their offensive line, yes, under Sam Pittman.
They're built.
Road graders.
So, I think Arkansas is going to win this game. What's the line on this one? I think. And probably favored, right?
By 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Low score as well. 48.5 over under in that game. That's pretty damn low for a college football game right now. But yeah, I feel good about Arkansas in that one. Couple interesting Pac-12 games. I know not everybody's super dialed into that. I am, so listen closely. Oregon had a really nice win last week against BYU. They needed that bad, and they looked like what people thought they were going to look like, obviously.
Bo Nix played well. That's
nationally,
why.
People are going to remember what Georgia did to him to start the season, and understandably. Washington State's not bad. They're going into Pullman, and again, we talk about a game that's going to be, you know, in Winston-Salem on Saturday, biggest day of the year for them playing Clemson. Wazoo against Oregon's a big weekend over there as well.
No doubt.
A tough place to go into. Not the biggest stadium in the world, but they get pretty fired up. Wazoo went on the road and beat Wisconsin.
They did.
At Camp Randall, so that's a nice win for them. Weird thing about Wazoo is they were supposed to have this great dynamic offense. They had that kid Cam Ward transfer from Incarnate Word or something like that. He broke all those records in D2 last year throwing the football. They haven't really done anything offensively. Wazoo's defense is really good.
But they're known
Oregon's defense is really good.
How much of the Mike Leach being there those previous years, was it like you looking at Washington State as just an offense?
That's a huge part of it because people don't think about it. Yeah. I mean, people are like, oh, yeah, they're air raid. Yeah. No, they're not.
No, they're not.
Mike Leach coaches at Mississippi State now.
Yes.
They're not that same football team. They're built around that defense right now, and they're good. They held Wisconsin to 10 points at home earlier in the season.
This looks like an upset coming right here. It looks like because of the same reason you just said about Wake Forest and Clemson, the home field advantage, it's going to be hostile as hell because Oregon is coming. All right, now we know that in the Pac-12, USC is the biggest brand. We know that.
Well, I want to talk about that one too.
But Oregon, you know, the uniforms and all that other stuff going in there, going up there, might be an upset.
Yeah, it would mean a lot. I think the one to keep an eye on, and I think USC will win.
Okay.
But I think that's going to be a good.
You think they're going to be tested by Oregon State?
I think they are.
Are they going to Corvallis?
They're going to Corvallis.
See, there
again,
it is, right there.
Not the most hostile environment in the world. But it's 6:30 kickoff.
You don't think Corvallis is going to be hostile with USC coming in?
As hostile as Corvallis can be.
Corvallis, when they're good, Corvallis is a tough place to play.
It can be. Yeah, it absolutely can be. Again, not the biggest stadium, like 40,000 seats, whatever, but they're fired up. They're 3-0. That's an interesting line. Like, Vegas knows something about that football game. How much would you think USC would be favored by in that game? Given all the hype, USC, all that kind of stuff, what would you think
five.
That line would be?
5.
Really?
Yeah.
6.5.
Okay.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I think I screwed myself on that one, the way that I leaned it. Wouldn't you have? I would have thought that would have been a bigger spread.
Mm-mm.
I would have thought USC would be favored by 9.5, 8.5, something like that. 6.5. Oregon State can score. USC can't stop anybody.
Yep.
Both those teams rely heavily on turnovers, which kind of maybe they can continue to do that. Probably not. The over-under in that game is 70. You want to watch a fun game on Saturday night? I don't even know it's on. Let's damn it's on Pac-12 Network, so you probably can't watch it.
I got it.
Okay, you can watch it.
Yeah.
USC Oregon State's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great game.
What time is it?
9:30.
Oh, man. That's the only thing about them noon Georgia games.
And that'll roll you right into Stanford and Washington, which is on FS1.
My whole thing Saturday is have Club Mac jumping about 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Jumping Club Mac will get me to midnight.
Okay, so you can watch the first half of Washington Stanford.
Yeah, but it's all about how I get to halftime, my mood at halftime of Georgia. All right. That's it.
dude, your mood's gonna be 37-0.
Because I'm single handing them. I'm doing after two, I'm double 50.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's why I just got to make sure I get there.
So can you make it to
kickoff? I gotta get there. I'll go slow for y'all.
No letdown game this week, Huskies. Big win last week. No letdown game against Stanford. I liked all the pictures of the Falcons practicing in there yesterday,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, man, that was
but
cool.
Do not think I am above blaming the Falcons.
Are you serious?
If the Huskies lose at home against Stanford on Saturday. Don't leave all that Falcon juju in there. Huskies are ranked. All right, we'll come back. Speaking of the Falcons, we'll chat with Marquise Williams, special teams coordinator, coming up next after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Marquise Williams is out there right now.
Coach!
He joins us right now. He's the Falcons special teams coordinator. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Doing well,
doing
man.
Well. Doing all right, well. All right, Coach. So anytime you get a special teams play, I mean, for a touchdown like that, it's always a big deal in the game. We know that because they don't have someone. So tell us, what was the call, and were you surprised that it came that wide open?
Couldn't tell you the call.
Nobody's listening, Coach.
Other people, yeah. But we decided, you know, as a group, we wanted to go attack the punt. So the guys did a great job being on the high alert for a quick snap, getting the line, and being ready. And then Troy and, you know, Zoe did a great job of, you know, rushing their inside gaps. And other guys out there like D'Angelo and Eric Harris, they did their part to free up Troy. And there was a miscommunication on their end. And then Troy did a great job of just bursting through the A gap and getting his hands in his body, actually, on the ball and blocking the punt.
He blocked it with his stomach. He was so far back there. And we're all looking forward to seeing Troy get out there and play linebacker when the time is right. Obviously, right now, a lot of his time is on special teams, so that means he gets to work with you. Mm-hmm. What do you like about him as a young player in the NFL early on in his career?
Well, first I'll say Troy's doing a great job with any opportunity he's given. Right. Anytime you're part of the coverage unit, that's the first play of defense. If you're part of the returning unit, it's the first play of offense. And it's crazy because looking at Troy's history, he was an offense and defensive player. Mm-hmm. So, you know, special teams suits him perfectly when it comes to that because he's played on both sides of the ball. And that's the first play of to get the game started for our offense and defense. But I love his versatility, his IQ, his awareness, his attitude first and foremost. And he's a very selfless individual, and you can see that in his play, whether you date back to college and even him in the NFL right now. And he plays hard. And we always say in our room, great plays are made from great effort. And he exemplifies that day in and day out as a player.
Coach, when you get to a point where, and I was going to ask you because I've had special teams coach in the past, as far as getting more starters on your special teams or having your core guys, is there a batch of guys that you look at as just your core team guys, or do you have more guys that probably have the ability to start?
Well, we look at it, we try to put the best 11 out there. You want to have about, like, you know, 8 to 10 core players, ideally. Any special teams coach will say that. But it's all about, you know, their characteristics, their personality, their attributes, their physical attributes that they bring to the game. Because on offense and defense, you have position groups, and you have guys that play particular positions. Mm-hmm. Within the kickoff phase, we have a position group for each part of the field, whether you're playing a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on kickoff. Those guys have different characteristics and things that we look for as a kickoff player. Kickoff return, same thing. So we look at those positions on each phase as a position group, and we try to put guys in that when it comes to personnel in the NFL, matchups, who we're going against, to put our best 11 out there. And for us as a team and as an organization, we're looking to win that down. The most important play is that down. Just so happen if it's fourth down or if it's a kicking down, we're trying to put the best 11 out there. So, yeah, if they start on defense, they start on offense, it doesn't matter. But our guys in our building, they want to play on special teams, and they want to – because they understand that that play, that current play, will help the team win in any particular Sunday. So that's what we're looking for. So we don't get fixated on, like, oh, he starts on defense.
Right.
Oh, he starts on offense. We just want to put the best 11 out there to help our team win games.
How much is Cordarrelle Patterson advocating for his chances to return kicks so he can set that record? Because he's close. I think he's one away. How much is he getting in your guys' ears about getting him back there?
He's always in my ear, but it's not about the record. It's about helping our team. That's the first play on offense. He wants to put up points. You look at kickoff return, it's a big running play. It's just with more space. He runs the ball on offense. So it's a run play, and he's our running back, and if he's back there as our returner, he's making the right decisions. Because sometimes you'll get guys back there if they're pressing, they want to, like, go and score touchdowns and, you know, do it for just themselves. then they start making bad decisions, mm-hmm. and they start taking the ball out when it's a little bit too deep or if it's not the best kickoff. CT has done a great job of great decision-making and being a selfless individual. It, of course, like, we all want him to break the record, but our mindset and our mission is to give ourselves good field position for our offense. So that's where he's advocating to help give our offense great field position or to put up points on the board to help our offense out there. Because we say in our room, the best special teams consecutive plays are when we go from the return game to PAT. That's what those are the best plays because that means we score touchdowns.
Coach, when you're in a position where you guys are going to be in Seattle and everything as far as the kicking game, we're talking about the field goal kicking game, where usually would you think that Younghoe Koo wants the ball in a situation because of the weather and where that wind can be sometimes up in Seattle as opposed to being here in the dome?
It varies. You know, we look at that. We come together with a game plan based on the wind patterns in the stadium, based on which way we're kicking in the stadium, based on the wind pattern. And it goes back to, like, what's the situation? Obviously, in the game, in the half, it doesn't matter where the ball's at. And that's what the cool thing is with coaching a guy like Koo. Koo, he's very relentless. He's very stern in his thinking and his processing, and nothing bugs him when it comes to, or he never gets rattled about anything. So wherever we put the ball down at, he has the opportunity to put points on the board. So just getting the opportunity to go out there, he's excited about that. So it doesn't really matter where the ball's at.
Hey, Coach, now usually when the coin toss and everything, you get the decision to the receiver defer. Obviously, the head coach usually makes that call. But if it's on you to make the call, to start the game, to kick or defer, which one are you picking?
Again, it's a team decision. That's why we go to the head coach. Hey, but it goes back to, too, what's our plan for the week?
We won't tell him. We won't tell him.
It's a head coach's decision. It's a team decision. And our coach puts our team in the best position possible to start the game fast. So it's all based on, like, how we want to go into the game. Do we want to start on defense first, get the party started, or do we want to start on offense first? And it's all based on the game plan, the team that we're going against, where we're playing at, if we're playing outdoors, indoors, is it a hostile environment, those things in that nature. That's what it comes down to. But the head coach puts the team first when it comes to that, and that's how we make our decision.
Coach, we appreciate the time today. Thank you. Good luck
on
Sunday.
Get another one this week.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, Andy and Randy. You guys take care. Have a great week.
You too.
Marquise Williams there, Atlanta Falcons special teams coordinator, getting ready for a big one. Special teams, look, this is going to be a tight game on Sunday. Special teams are always vital. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this one comes down to a Younghoe Koo field goal. This one comes down to a big kick return that gives you a good field position. Like, I feel like special teams plays
teams
a big role.
Special teams
coaches
are the funnest coach on the staff anyway.
They are?
Oh, yeah. I've never been. They're just fun, you know, because it's like, because they got to know everybody. You got to know everybody and everything. It's always that one, especially when you're a starter and a man might be down. They come up to you, hey, can you help me out?
Because he knows you don't want to.
You know damn well you don't want to.
And he's down.
Hey, he's down. I'm going to need you to go in there and play
that.
He's
down punt coverage.
All right, no problem. Because you always had that relationship with him, it would always be, all right, no problem.
Anybody ever say no?
No. I've never seen a player say no.
Yeah. I'm not doing that, man. Find somebody else. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the most important audio in the world to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Thanks for being with us here on a Trillville Thursday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.